Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did you know I've had my podcast for 15 years? Do you know that it is the most downloaded sports podcast of all time? Did you know I have guests from the sports world, from the culture world, people who work for The Ringer, people outside The Ringer, celebrities, experts, you name it. It's on my podcast 3 times a week, late Sunday night, late Tuesday night, late Thursday night, The Bill Simmons Podcast. Check it out on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.
Shout out, Zach Edwards.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
A 1,000% confirmed.
Mage. Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Mage.
Male.
Measure.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Mage.
Male.
Measure.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Shout out to that guy,
I like a delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's number one sports and recreation podcast. It's known as Cheap Heat. I am joining you from New York City, your forever 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg. In Philadelphia, I am joined by the physically large stat guy, Greg.
That's right, the EST of CHP back again.
As much as the Mitch.
That's exactly right. And also...
I'm intrigued by the meatballs.
That's right. And also joining us in Los Angeles, California, where I will be seeing him in days at DRL, Dipper Steen. How are you?
1,000%. I can't wait for you to sleep in my guest room.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah, we're gonna have
to. Do you watch TV on that big ass TV in my guest room when you're here?
You have to.
1,000%.
I did, but I will say it's so big. The TV's so big that you can't go to sleep with it on.
Really?
Too much light.
Like, it's too much light.
I can fall asleep in a movie theater. I don't even.
Well, I know. I've watched you fall asleep during literally. I watch you fall asleep during every single thing we ever watch for 5 minutes. God, you're like Natalie. I have two people. By the way, you're the only other adult that I, Ballard also occasionally. You're one of like three adults that I even hang out with late at night, and you're just like the other two in that you're sleeping every time.
But I love to stay up late and like go all night. You know what I mean?
No, he wants to go and go and go, but he's also falling asleep.
If you get him in a comfortable seat.
Yes, because he will be falling asleep.
You know the position.
Oh, yeah, I know
the
position.
It's the hand on the head to the side.
Yep. He leans
That's why
over.
I have so many neck problems.
He leans over. You might see one SGG over Mania weekend. If we end up in like a hotel room at night watching something, you'll get one. I've never seen it happen at the bar, but you never know. All right, guys.
Dip Flair doesn't let that happen.
No, Dip Flair is a different.
I will tell you, the only thing that's changed with my sleep patterns in the last few years is that I stopped sleeping with my LJNs.
Well, yeah, and it's easier to sleep without the LJNs.
Yeah, if you roll over on one. You know, like especially like the Kamala one, where all, you know, where the both the hands are in front of it. You know, that's that may hurt.
This is a crazy time for me to be recording the podcast, guys, because I just learned that the Washington Commanders have a new quarterback in Carson Wentz. So I we won't talk about that, but anyone who knows football fans knows you finding out your team just got a new quarterback is such earth-shattering news.
It's like I can confirm that this shook you to the core moments before we
and
started.
I don't even feel negative or positive about it. But
it hit you.
It hit me.
You're hit right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my friend is upset and dropping F-bombs. I don't know if I think it's a bad thing. I think Carson Wentz might be all right. Not special, but better than we had. So if they didn't feel they could get better, why am I talking about this? Let's talk about professional wrestling.
1,000%.
Might be something all right that is not a ringing endorsement, though.
No, there's no listen. I'm definitely not giving you a ringing endorsement. That's not going to happen today.
But Let me tell you what's going to happen.
Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. Nothing you can do about it.
Yes. Carson Wentz is going to go out there. He's going to get the football. He's going to run back a little bit. He's going to run forward a little bit. He's going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Someone's going to catch it. Someone's not. It is what it is.
And also remember,
Rosenberg says he was like, wow. Yeah, I was like, wow.
That's true. That's how you were when you got the news.
So I guess we got to start with the real news that made me.
Rosenberg says he was like, wow. Yeah, I was like, wow.
And that would be Stone Cold Steve Austin accepting the offer from Kevin Owens. He will be appearing at WrestleMania in Dallas. Now, we don't know exactly what that is. We don't know if it's a match. We don't know if it's a KO show. In fact, we know so little what it is that Austin actually himself said he didn't know what it was, which was interesting.
Let me tell you something.
Dip, did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did. I watched the video.
Let's do something here real quick. Before you wax poetic, let's just hear a quick clip of Stone Cold Steve Austin, okay? Just so everyone can have an idea of what's happening here.
Ten years ago, I wrestled my last match in a WWE ring. After three rock bottoms, 1, 2, 3, I lost the match. And for 19 years, I've had to live with that defeat, knowing my time was up. Kevin Owens, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for waking something up deep inside me that I've kept buried for 19 years. Ever since you started running that damn mealy mouth of yours talking about the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, you got my attention. And why would you want to do that, Kevin? I can think of two reasons. One, you are one dumb son of a bitch. And two, you are fixing to get your ass kicked by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Whether you want to call this a KO show, a match, a fight, a brawl, whatever, I will guarantee you this. In Dallas, Texas, where I started my career at WrestleMania, Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to open up one last can of whoop-ass on you, Kevin Owens. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
So, there we have it. Clunky as we've gotten here, we are now here. I guess I'm... Listen, let me be clear. I'm incredibly excited that Stone Cold Steve Austin will be at WrestleMania. Natalie is beside herself. She told me she literally can't believe it. She's going to die. She doesn't know what she's going to do. She cannot believe she's going to see Steve Austin. She's thrilled. That being said, I don't know why they made it so hard to get here. Like, why can't we just... I wish it was a call out for a match. I guess we could still get there, but obviously something didn't happen correctly if Austin had to say in the promo, it could be a KO show, could be a match, could be a fight. They obviously don't quite know yet. So that part frustrates me a little bit, but overall, guys, I'm excited. It certainly enhances WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think they're dangling it a little bit. They don't want to give it all away just yet. Right, because there's some skeptics out there, and I think we are three of them who still think that this could just be a segment where he goes out and plays the hits, right? We get the broken glass, we get a stunner, maybe two or three stunners, a beer bath, middle fingers in the air, and he goes home. And then there's some people who believe we might see the black trunks and the knee braces and the full gimmick. And I think they don't want to answer that question until his music hits in Dallas.
Why?
Well,
why? Because it's because just saying that Stone Cold will appear in some capacity, you see the excitement from everybody. That much sells itself. And I think people are going to be happy with whatever they get. Now, I might be happier with an actual match than with a KO show segment that goes off the rails as it's guaranteed to do. But I think that they know that just the announcement of Stone Cold being there and being opposite Kevin Owens is intriguing enough that it's gonna move the needle a little bit.
Dipper Lago?
I'm not excited about it. I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
I think because I could already tell that based on the prepared statement that they made him try to pretend was improvisation, that it's just going to be an overscripted, you're not going to get authentic Stone Cold. I love Stone Cold. I can't wait to see him live again. But I don't know. I sort of wish it wasn't Kevin Owens. I wish it were somebody else. And I'll tell you what else it throws a wrench into. You're probably, as a result of Austin being at the show, definitely not going to see The Rock. Because I can't imagine that Austin would agree to an appearance, his first altercation in the wrestling ring in 19 years, to have it overshadowed by The Rock coming back at the end and interfering in a match. He's gonna want to be the return that's talked about, not The Rock.
I have to rebut this statement.
You'll get your opportunity. I don't know. I'd like it to just be a match. I'd like to see the two of them wrestle. If it's not going to be a wrestling match, him just stunning him on the KO show and smacking a few beers, we've seen plenty of times in the last few years.
That's the part that bothers me, is just that. Mm-hmm. And SGG, you're right. There are some people who won't care about that. They're very casual. But most people who watch WrestleMania are wrestling fans. And most of us have seen this before. If it's just an appearance on a show, we've gotten this before. And that's
why... They're just trying to figure out a way to stuff him on the show, and this is a way, and he can't really take a bump and really do a full match, which of course I understand. He's been injured for years and has a terrible neck. But if he's not going to lace up the boots, going to come walking down with the black ring attire and the leg brace and do a full match in some capacity, then it's something that we've seen a million times. They're again insulting our intelligence by pretending like this is something that is 19 years in the making. It's not. We've seen him on 10,000 shows since then do the same thing, stunner or stomping a mud hole and then grabbing a bunch of beers and drinking them and pouring them down his throat. We've seen it. It's exciting. We love Stone Cold. He's one of our favorites of all time, perhaps the GOAT, but it's not something that we haven't seen. That said, I'm excited to be in attendance and see Stone Cold and hear the music and see the beer.
SGG, your rebuttal.
Yes, I'm going to work backwards. So, yes, we have seen it, and I'm with you guys. If this is just that, we have seen it, that alone is not as exciting. But they're advertising it, and he even teased going so far as a match. Now, again, he's a worker. So him teasing a match doesn't guarantee a match either. But I think they did leave it open-ended enough that I'm still intrigued. And it's not a foregone conclusion that this is going to be like any other KO show that we've seen before or any other Stone Cold segment that we've seen before. Now, as far as his injuries keeping him out of the ring, Bret was concussed by Goldberg and ended his career. Then had a bike riding accident. Had a stroke, almost died, came back at WrestleMania, wrestled a match against Vince McMahon where they worked around his inability to take a bump, so much so that months later they put a damn title on him, even though he could not take a bump. He was in several matches and could not take a bump, and I don't think Stone Cold, the state of Stone Cold's neck, is nearly as dire as Bret's health situation when they ran him through not only a WrestleMania match, but a full farewell tour. Complete with a title run after that. And then I don't think Stone Cold showing up and even being advertised to show up guarantees no Rock. Because the last time they were in Dallas, Stone Cold showed up, and then later on in the night, we saw The Rock. Two surprise appearances, by the way. Then you go 2 years before that, WrestleMania 30. Hulk Hogan's hosting. He thinks he's in Detroit. They're really in New Orleans. Stone Cold shows up, and then right behind Stone Cold is The Rock. So I don't think that because they get one doesn't mean they're not going to get the other. Sometimes they show up separately, and sometimes their careers are so intertwined that when they show up, they show up together, and neither one of them gets overshadowed by the other. So I think Stone Cold showing up doesn't mean that The Rock doesn't show up. He could not, but I don't think it has any bearing on anything.
I think it's a different time now, SGG. I think, you know, the only logical thing for The Rock to do left, you know, in a real way is to wrestle Roman Reigns in the main event of a big pay-per-view. And Stone Cold is now billing himself. You're seeing him on a poster against another wrestler. So I just feel like the situation this year is different. By the way, if we get both of them, that would be amazing. But here's the other thing. I don't think we're going to see Austin shirtless.
He looks good shirtless, though. He has like.
Have you seen him shirtless recently?
He was shirtless on that USA show. I can't remember the name of it, but like
his interview show.
Yeah, his arms too, though. Like he's still.
Have
he's
you
still
seen
good
him,
to go.
His torso and abs?
He has a six.
Have we seen that? He does. Okay.
You have to go.
All right. I just feel like he's only going to go out there if he's in incredible shape too. You know? I don't know. Look.
I just want them to make it a match, though. This is not rocket science. Just make it a match or announce that it's this. Or maybe don't even make it an invited to the KO show.
That's what it is.
I might have rather just had KO keep talking his trash and then have a match. And then after the match, Austin surprises us, but they want the promo for him. So I get it. My only point is this: if you're going to promote him, decide officially what you're promoting him for. That would be ideal, in my opinion.
Well, that's fair. Whatever. At least it's something.
It's something. By the way, Dip's questions answered last week. SGG already answered it, but he answered it correctly. Edge most certainly will be a heel.
Yes.
That is very, very clear.
No problem after this week's promo. I just wanted to get some clarity, and we got it.
Did you think you got enough clarity? They literally turned the lights off in the entire arena. They really showed you what they want this to be. It's interesting for me, though, because I just find AJ to be a sort of unnatural babyface.
You think so?
I do. I don't know. I think he's smug. I think
I agree.
I think that's what makes him great as a heel is that he does come off as like smug, but then when it's time for him to like he's right at that line of smug and charming, and then he jumps to the right side when he needs to play a certain role.
Well, unfortunately, he has a move set that's very babyface.
Yeah.
So I mean, when he wrestles, you root for him. That flying elbow off the top rope. I mean, he's flying everything. He's a very appealing wrestler, and this should be a good match. We see RK Bro get the titles back. Not mad at that.
No, not at all.
So what do you think the purpose is there? Do we get the big turn on each other at Mania, or the big blow up there at Mania?
I think so.
Probably
I think,
Raw
I think,
after.
Yeah, I think they'll Raw tease after? It. I think maybe they'll tease it at Mania, and then we'll get it. The weird part for me was though, I assumed that it was going to lead to Seth and KO ending up challenging for those titles. But now there's this KO show, which is obviously going to be his big moment, because I thought the play that might have made sense is you put the titles on RK-Bro right now, and then the big crowning moment at WrestleMania is Seth and KO win the tag titles. That's kind of where I thought we were going here, and now I don't think that with the Austin of it all.
Well, I mean, as far as what Seth is going to do, they're in Jacksonville next week, and everybody's been, you know, murmuring about Cody versus Seth for Mania. I find it very hard to believe that Seth will have nothing to do at WrestleMania. So maybe.
It's amazing how quiet they're really keeping the Cody thing, even though there's a lot of speculation on all the dirt sheets. They really are keeping it very, very quiet as far as what the status is. They're saying it first last weekend it was cooled off. Now this week, there's another new update. There's always something going on every day, but there's really no real information about Cody.
It's kind of incredible.
What does your hunch tell you? Because now the rumors are that it is not happening. He wanted too much money, and WWE is not happening.
My guess is that I don't think he's AEW ain't bringing him back. They're not. So maybe he has something to do with the Ring of Honor of it all. Maybe they'll circle back to that. But
Hold on. But that doesn't go then. So either they're not bringing him back. You just said you don't think there's any chance
he's
bringing
him
back.
He's in wrestling limbo 1,000%.
Because if they were to bring him back as part of the ROH thing, guess what? That means they're bringing him back.
That's AEW.
Yeah.
That's right. That's AEW. I don't know. I think there's a chance now that he could go back. Who knows?
Well, I mean, we're going to find out soon, right? Because, I mean, you know, how
sad would that be, SGG, if he overplayed his hand and lost both?
For him, well, very sad.
That's clearly – let me just say something. As the weeks go by, the whole thing cools off. So it's like last week was like the moment, or WrestleMania is the moment. If he doesn't premiere in WWE at WrestleMania or the Raw after, and it extends past that, no one. It's done. I'll see you when I see it. I'll talk to you later.
It's true. That is the deadline.
Give me a call at some point.
In one of those, he has to. It doesn't have to be at WrestleMania, but if he is not on TV by the Raw after, or I'll even say the SmackDown after WrestleMania, if he's not on TV by then, I'm with Dip. It's just like, enjoy retirement or go on like a little hiatus.
He's young. Retirement. Yeah.
I mean, did he make enough money though? Does he have enough stacked away? It depends, right?
SGG, it's never enough, buddy. It's never enough. as we all know.
While we're talking about AEW, is now the time to get into some Revolution?
Can we talk about Vader real quick?
Oh, yes. Vader going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, WWE announced two new Hall of Famers.
Go ahead.
This week, Vader and Psycho Sid, both
gotta
announced
tell you.
For the Hall of Fame.
Gotta tell you, let's be real. So far, this is poised to be the greatest Hall of Fame class in history.
Yeah,
and it's well said.
Yeah,
it's too bad. It's too bad that Vader's not around, but Psycho Sid is around, and he, God knows what he could say. So that's interesting. This is cool.
I have to meet Sid in Dallas. I want to meet Sid. He's like the last one I've never met. I never met Undertaker either, but I've never met Sid. Sid is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers from, you know, going back to the Skyscrapers with Dan Spivey all the way to the end. He is one of my, you know, the WCW run, frankly, not the TNA run.
Sid and Vader had a tag team for a little while too.
But Sid, also one of my all-time favorite wrestling figures, the Galoob 1991 Sid wrestling figure with his arms outstretched, always went over every single time. Okay? And he's one of my all-time favorites by far.
No, he,
I used to play the WWF, the Sid theme, and like do the eye thing in the mirror. When I was like 9 years old.
Yo, Vader's WCW theme was dope too, while we're talking about wrestling themes. Like, and the whole gimmick with the helmet and smoke. And I know we lament a lot about Vader's WWE run and the fact that he never got a world championship and now him going into the Hall of Fame after having passed away. But his WCW stuff, man, it's just like, for anybody who hasn't seen it, they have to just go back and watch the whole thing.
Vader's WCW theme, the 1991 theme, is one of the best themes ever.
Yeah.
It's one of the most scary themes. It was terrifying.
It is.
I would say that
it really was.
The Vader headgear and the Kamala mask are two things that I need in glass cases at Dipper Lago before I die. I need both of those items. Where do you think I can get a Vader headgear?
Conrad must know.
I know, but this is the one on Spotify.
No, the other one's there too, I'm sure.
No, this is WWE one.
Yeah. But
there's a lot more Darth Vader themes that you find here. Anyways, it's going to be a good Hall of Fame class. I am excited about that. And Dip, we all hope you meet Psycho Sid and talk to him about softball. It's his favorite subject.
I'll pretend that
they
I
know. They say Sid is nice in softball, right?
Well, yeah, I hope so. It's like his life lives for softball. The man's a softball maniac.
Is there anyone that looked like a wrestler more than Sid? I mean,
no, he looks like a caricature of what a pro wrestler would be.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I went to the house show on Saturday night.
Okay.
Madison Square Garden. I'll tell you one thing. It is a really good reminder of what WWE can be. Because you take out all of the mishigas and nonsense from a bad episode of TV, and you just take all the best talent and let them have wrestling matches, and guess what? It's fantastic. Hell of a product. Hell of a product.
What was the card?
They opened up with a little classic RK-Bro Alpha Academy. Alpha Academy gets the win. Randy hits the RKO after the match. Everyone's happy.
On Gable or Otis?
I don't remember. I think Gable. You get a triple threat. Becky, Bianca, Rhea. They were great. Rhea was over like Rover in person, more so than she is on TV. Bianca's always over. Becky steals the match. Fantastic. You get a KO show. No. You didn't get a KO show. You got a Miz TV with KO. Miz is awesome in person. It's the only real big mic segment they have. I'll tell you who I did not feel great about, though, when I saw them come out in person.
Uh-oh. In terms of
reaction.
Let me guess.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Austin Theory.
I was just going to say that.
No. Austin Theory, I was actually running around in that moment. I missed Austin Theory's appearance because I was on my way back up to our suite. We'd gone down to seats, and we were on our way back to the suite. Reached in my pocket. Realized I'd lost my employee all access pass.
Oh my God.
Ran back down to my seat and found it sitting just face up under my seat. Just the thing that says 2022 all access. the find of the millennium.
Can you imagine if somebody would have found that? That's the golden ticket.
It's the golden, literally. The golden ticket.
All year. That was next time they come back to the garden.
Do you remember
every show? You walk right in.
Yeah. If you happen to be in Boise, Idaho, when they're there for a show.
Do you remember the first time you got it?
No, why would happen the first time?
We just groveled over it and salivated over it.
Oh, when it came in the mail?
Yeah.
Immense joy. And I ran back And as a result, I was sprinting, so I missed Austin Theory's reaction. That is not the person who I would talk about, though, because I wouldn't expect much for an Austin Theory reaction yet anyway, and he's a heel, and who knows, blah, blah, blah. So, no, it was a baby face whose reaction made me go,
Riddle?
Drew McIntyre. He did not get the... He was supposed to just come beat up Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn makes it very easy. He's so good. Sami Zayn's so good. Sami Zayn makes it very easy. Everyone's chanting Knoxville. If Johnny Knoxville had showed up, people would have lost their mind. I thought there was a chance. I know. And I was like, man, Knoxville's been so on board. I'm surprised he didn't agree to a few house shows.
Yo, can we talk
because
about,
people would have lost it.
Can we talk about that for a second? How insane it is that... You know, WWE gets ripped apart for, like, celebrity involvement a lot of the times. But two of the most random celebrities turned out to be two of the most over personalities on WWE TV in the past 2 years. And it's Bad Bunny and Johnny Knoxville.
It's true.
If you went back in time and you told me that in the year of our Lord, 2022...
That's right.
That Bad Bunny and Johnny Knoxville will be two of the most over personalities on WWE TV. I would never. First of all, I'll ask you, who is Bad Bunny? That's number one. And then I wouldn't believe the Johnny Knoxville thing, but it's just incredible. For Knoxville to get a chant at MSG is blowing my mind.
And by the way, I agree with you. But when I saw him at the Royal Rumble, he just really owns it. And that's why I would have been really psyched if he showed up at the Garden. Because I would have been like, man, this guy's really getting after it. By the way, do we imagine no Bad Bunny this year at Mania?
I'm not sure.
They're celebbed out with Logan Paul and...
No Bad Bunny.
Oh, you've spoken to Bunny.
Mr. Bunny and I have been friends for a year.
Yeah, you're talking to that Bunny. So the house show was fun. Also, I should mention...
How were the lights? Sorry to interrupt.
It's the Garden. It's amazing.
I know.
It's super dark. Yeah. It's dark galore. It's the highest...
That's what I love.
The highest level house show. Confirmed.
When the lights go down, like, during the match, it's just a great feeling. It's a very old school feeling.
Dip, have you done a house show there yet?
No.
You really need to. It's
next
the smartest...
Next time I'll fly in for it.
It's the most nerdy, smartest fans. It's... dark and awesome and just it's a great time.
Did you guys go and again, was there a going and going situation?
No going and going. I'd been going and going all night in the suite, and then I went home.
Oh, you went away.
Yeah, I went and went home. But it was a really good time. Saw Sam Roberts. Saw our buddy Carlos Herrera.
Oh, great big guy. Fan.
Great guy. And saw professional wrestling. And it's just such a good energy when you go to a live wrestling show, by the way. Like, every time you go to an arena, there's some feeling of tension. Like, even at a basketball game, there's, you know, you can see the drunk guys who are, you know, this one.
Right.
Football game, certainly you see it. UFC fight, don't even get me started. You have to, if you're like me or Dipperstein, you're just staring down, avoiding eye contact with one of these.
You
want to
go, bro? You want to go?
Yeah. I don't want to go, bro.
I don't
want to
go.
I do not want
to go. I don't want to go. There's nowhere for me to go.
At WWE shows, knock on wood, but in my experience, and I've been to countless. No tension. It's just a good time. Everyone's there to have fun. It's one of the best things about it. It feels so fun.
It's the greatest live experience money can buy, in my opinion.
By the way, I do have to also tell you guys, I interviewed Brock Lesnar last week.
Oh my God.
I've heard of him.
I had that as one of my news items for the
week.
Oh,
we didn't even ask you news. That, what the hell happened today? Go ahead, SGG. What's happening in the news?
Stories. We spoke about Stone Cold. We mentioned the Hall of Fame announcements. We have to circle back to Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. But while we're here, we're going to discuss Brock Lesnar because, first of all, excellent interview. And for me,
thank you.
The biggest reveal among many, for those of you who haven't heard it, just search the Michael Kay Show. Wherever you get your podcast, the Brock Lesnar interview is isolated. It's right there. It's 36 minutes that flies by, but you're going to love it. He experiences fear. And that is, to me, the biggest news item. That bull moose that charged at him and he thought he was going to die. Now, granted, he's still the beast, so he still composed himself and got right and survived the encounter. He went over on the bull moose. But for him to admit that he experienced fear It was very humanizing, and I got to give it up to you guys for getting that out of the beast, Brock Lesnar, because it's not a thing that I would have ever known.
Let me tell you something, okay? After the interview, I looked up what a bull moose looked like.
Yeah.
If a bull moose charged at me or threatened me in any way, I would literally just climb right into its mouth and say, just eat me. I can't be bothered with this. Just eat me already or trample me. I would just lay down on the finger point of death, finger point of doom. I would have just laid out or be eaten immediately. I would have given up instantly.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is regular moose, okay? No. And I know my mooses. This is some moose we're talking about, a bull moose.
Humans don't go over on a bull moose.
They're the size of a truck.
The way he told the story, too, was just...
Let me tell you one more thing. I can tell you right now, I'm 34 years old. I will never, for the rest of my life until I die, be in a position where I am standing around a bull moose. Okay?
No, it's never going to happen. Yeah, no.
You'll never see me around a bull moose. Ever. Maybe at a zoo. But I don't know. They're not in zoos.
You know what really pisses me off, though? All of these stupid wrestling outlets write about this. And let me just complain for a second. No one can figure out it's me asking the question and credit me. They only can say the Michael Kay Show. No one can ever say Peter Rosenberg asked blank, blah, blah. Like, I'm a WWE broadcaster sitting there talking to him, and they will say nothing. The Michael Kay Show, I asked every wrestling question
you did
in the interview.
Great questions, by the way.
To me, the story... Getting him to tell his version of the shooting star press at WrestleMania 19, that's never been done.
Yes.
That wasn't going to happen on McAfee's interview. That was the place to do it. I did it. Nothing.
Great interview. And I'm not just saying this because I'm your friend. Like, really great interview.
Thank you.
People have to go check this out.
It was very compelling.
If you want to hear the whole thing, it's up as a full podcast wherever you find podcasts. Just type in like Brock Lesnar, Michael Kay Show, and the segment will come up. But I was very proud of it because I was intimidated by the whole thing. And it worked out pretty good.
You know who we should have on the show next week? The bull moose.
No, that bull moose is gone. We got to get the cousin of the bull moose.
You're not getting that bull moose.
Yeah, that bull moose is gone.
He shot it 1,000%.
He shot it and ate it.
That was the best part of it. So what did you do? He said, I gathered my composure and I shot it.
We should interview a bull moose just to see how a bull moose would feel about encountering Brock Lesnar.
That's true. We have to get the other side of the story.
And is there any revenge? Is there a revenge conversation happening?
Is the bull moose community, out for blood?
Because honestly, I have to think that bull moose saw Brock Lesnar and was trying to run past Brock to get out of the way to safety, and then to Brock, it looked like he was being charged at, and the bull moose had to go. But you know.
Also, I ordered some of Brock Lesnar's delicious spice from Bearded Butchers.
How is the Brock Lesnar blend?
The Brock Lesnar blend? I got to tell you, I am a breast man through and through.
Yeah.
Confirmed. And I got to tell you, put on a little chicken breast, a little piece of filet. Delightful.
He said too, though. He said that like it goes best on some delicious chicken. So I'm looking
to
get
myself. I know
that affected you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking to get myself a bottle of that, too.
And you know what he asked me afterwards, too? This is surprising.
Somebody stole my egg.
For the record, I do not endorse hunting in any way.
I don't care. I
won't hunt, but I mean, somebody. Listen, the meat gets to the grocery store somehow.
Right. I don't endorse hunting for sport. I don't endorse hunting for sport. But I told Brock it was admirable what he does because he eats everything he kills. We're just a bunch of cowards. We just eat what they serve to us at the restaurant.
Exactly.
Brock kills it and eats it himself. Now, if he just shot them and left them laying there, well, then he's a monster. But if you shoot them and eat them, you're no different than me, except you're more honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure he has he did mention his trophy room as well, but and by the way, I have known vegetarians before and vegans, very strict animal rights people, who respect the hunter more than they respect the typical meat consumer.
Because
they respect the hunter because at least they're keeping it real.
And probably
we see it in the window at Citarella, a $50 filet. It's all carved up. It's nice. It's ready. He has his kids deboning and deboning.
That was
something,
crazy.
Something my father never asked me to do. That I can tell you right now. My father never asked me to debone a bull moose.
You think he asks? You think he has to ask?
Yeah. Do you ever have to debone like a piece of whitefish?
Well, if it gets caught, if you have a bite of whitefish and there's a little bone in it, yeah, I've picked the bone out of my whitefish bite. And then, by the way, we send it back immediately. If there's bones in the whitefish, it's going back.
1,000%. All right, we need to mention the AEW pay-per-view of it all.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Revolution?
Yes.
Fun pay-per-view. My two highlights, you guys can weigh in however you like. I will start this one off, if you don't mind, by saying thought MJF and Punk was terrific. Punk's best moment so far in AEW. One of MJF's best moments, maybe his best, but one of, certainly. And Punk, I think, hands down, the signature moment he's had thus far besides his first night on TV. Love their match. Big pop for the William Regal appearance. Finally, because I was sitting there complaining about the Swerve Scott segment, right? I'm like, here they go again. They just have to have someone come out on the stage and awkwardly talk to Tony Schiavone. I don't know why Tony Khan thinks this is a good look. He obviously... It's
Tony Schiavone,
thing.
Who spoiled the surprise, by the way, and showed...
Oh, my God. And then Schiavone waves the paper so you see that it says Swerve. By the way, did you have to write Swerve Scott in big letters on the paper? So that after that moment, I'm like, why do they ruin every surprise? God, nothing's fun. And then the William Regal thing was an awesome surprise. And in my apartment where I had a few people watching, huge pop. Everyone was excited to see Regal come back or show up on TV. So I thought that was fantastic. I also loved the six-man tag. Probably could have trimmed it down a bit. Sorry?
Which six-man tag?
Wasn't it a six-man tag or a triple threat tag match? It was a six-man tag.
It was a triple threat
tag
match for the tag titles, and then there was a six-man tag with Sting and
right.
And then there was another triple threat. Then there was another six-man tag, I think, on the kickoff show.
I meant the triple threat tag match for the titles.
Okay.
I thought the six-man tag actually went a bit long and they were doing a little too much. But I loved the tag title match. Thought it was a great time. My biggest problem with the pay-per-view, too long, and the match order was bizarre. There was no way for me to stay excited for the last two matches. I mean, you really remembered when you realized that you still had the Hangman Page match coming up.
Yeah.
It really settled in your mind how unimportant Hangman Page is right now.
And
like at that moment, I was like, I'm sorry, Dip. I was like, that's the title match. The title match is still coming up. And then I thought the only way to redeem this headline in the pay-per-view, when truly there's not a lot of juice around Page and Cole, the only way to redeem this is I thought Cole would steal the title. And I think Cole would have been made. I think Cole all of a sudden could have gotten his swag back in one moment. And by the way, who would have cared? Because Hangman's it's not really happening right now.
No. And so you didn't leave much. You didn't leave much positive for me to say, except for that I thought Jade Cargill also had her best match and her best moment. And
she was really good
in AEW.
She was really good.
Because I agree with you on the Punk MJF match. I told you this before the show. That should have been the match that closed the show. It had the most heat.
Yep.
It was far and away the best match. The William Regal surprise. If we get Mox and Danielson managed by William Regal, I think that's a great tag team with a great manager. Shoot them to the top.
Yep.
I didn't enjoy the triple threat tag team match as much, but I will say that Jungle Boy, I'm ready for him to leave the tag team division. He's still a tag team champion, but I would be A-OK with him dropping those tag titles and then going on to become the single star that he's meant to be. I mean, honestly, he had a couple of sequences in there. The one where he ran up Matt's back, caught Nick on the top rope, threw him off the top rope and rolled it right into a German suplex on Matt Jackson and you just got to feel like the tag team division is holding him back after a performance like that. Honestly, Jungle Boy was too good. But I'm with you that the match order was bizarre and the pay-per-view felt a little too long. But, I mean, you know, they wanted to give everybody a show. They wanted to give the paying customers a chance to see as many people as they could on the roster, which explains all the multi-man matches and the length of the card.
I got to tell you, I thought the pay-per-view was incredible. I all the points you're making are true, but all in all, I mean, the matches are the work rate and the risk taking and the move sets and everything is the way they're building stories in these matches are insane. The two highlights for me in ring were the Spanish Fly, Sammy Guevara and Isaiah Cassidy from Private Party. That was one of the most risky moves I've ever seen in my life in wrestling. Can you believe that landing that they had? Do you recall this moment?
No, I gotta watch it again.
It was off of like the shocking. Stage. Was that before or after Sting's insane?
It was before, I think. The Sting on, I mean, Sting is 62 years old. I mean, I know that that's not the riskiest bump, but the visual was insane. And then the
Matt
Hardy.
It is when you're 62,
Hardy,
though.
the Matt Hardy almost escaping the coffin drop, but then hit Darby Allin's head landing on his side, on Matt Hardy's side. It seemed that was an incredible finish and so effective looking. I thought that was brilliant. And I agree that Adam Cole probably should have stolen the title. I think the only reason why we weren't excited for that match is because that feud, they really didn't know what to do with it in the first place. And so it's been sort of boring. And everyone is the number one criticism right now in AEW is like that they can't get Adam Cole over to be doing anything significant. And they just are not. Tony Khan did not take the cues from the fans on that one. Adam Cole should have won that title 1,000% with the help of Red Dragon.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
He's watching the spot.
Oh.
I'm watching the spot.
The other thing I got to mention is that the job that they have done getting Wardlow over is unbelievable. Wardlow's
over.
So over like Rover, and now he's going to feud with MJF most likely. And that's going to be great too. MJF insulting Wardlow and talking about how he owes him everything and God.
I assume MJF will cost Wardlow his title opportunity.
Okay.
And that's at St. Patrick's Day Slam, right? In what, 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks. I imagine, or is it next week?
It's next week, yes.
Yeah, this week, it's next week. So I imagine that MJF will get involved in that, and then we'll be off to the races for MJF and Wardlow.
At double
Wardlow
nothing.
Wardlow is absolutely over and pretty great.
He's great.
I mean, I think Dip is overstating the pay-per-view to call it, quote, incredible, but I think it was very good. It wasn't their best pay-per-view. It was very good. The last couple of matches to me, I watched my room of people really quiet down for the last 45 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it was long.
And when it ended, everyone was waiting for something else to happen. Everyone was like, wait, maybe it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And they're like, we'll see you later. And they're like, maybe it's not over yet.
And that's such a disappointing
too, right?
Are we
debating
because
that Hangman Page is not a big star? He's a big star.
Hold on. He's a big star, but he's not right now. He's not in a meaningful thing.
No. And
him having the title is not working right
and
now.
I don't
maybe
think
it'll be
not
and Punk.
A thing.
I don't think the Adam Cole thing was the, I'm so disappointed with where Adam Cole is right now because he botched his own entrance by going to the wrong side of the ring. And then he's in a
he
match.
He did do that.
He's in a match that, you know, when Adam Cole's in a match, it's must see. But this feud didn't have any heat on it because it felt like they threw him into the world title picture as if to remind people of how great he is. And then all it did was serve to highlight even more just the fact that he's sliding a little bit further down in stature. I want to say week to week, but that's harsh. But it is a downward spiral that he's on. And
well, I the only reason I don't agree with you is because I agree he's not what he was at this moment. But I also think that match was entertaining. And had he stolen it, I think he could have instantly been back. I understand that's a lot. The big title doesn't really change hands very often on AEW. And I get that. But right now, I'm sorry. Whether it's Cole's fault or Hangman's fault or whoever's fault, that match was an afterthought. Your heavyweight title match should not be an afterthought. That's a problem.
But
and it could have been MJF and Punk to close. It could have been Moxley Bryan to close. All of those names would have been valid of, you know, worthy of closing. But I just don't think the heavyweight title was in this case. Sorry, Dip, what were you
going to
say?
Just going to say, though, not to be contrarian to that, but it just give, I agree with you. But let's give credit to AEW for making all the B storylines other than the title mean something.
True.
Yeah.
It's because they do have a lot of meaningful stuff. No, there's, listen, most of that card, I cared about 80% of the card, which is a really solid thing. But the question becomes for AEW, I love that they make pay-per-views feel special. Is it time to go from 4 to 6, though? So you can shorten the gap. Brian Mann was making this point, and I thought it was a smart one. If you go to 6 pay-per-views a year and you have a pay-per-view every 2 months, you can shorten the storytelling that you're doing just a bit. And I think it gives you the opportunity to have shorter pay-per-views and find easier and quicker ends to stories, some of which shouldn't play out over such a long time.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
I don't think you want to go to 10 pay-per-views. Well, Dip, you can't have 4-hour pay-per-views on a Sunday. You just can't.
Well, they don't need to do that. They didn't need
but,
to.
But they're going to because they only have 4 pay-per-views a year. So if you're building for 3 months to one day, you got to get everyone on the card. So
I'm sorry, the matches are all 30 minutes long. They don't have to be
30
minutes
That's long. The problem. That's exactly. Another one of the problems. But Dip, you just made
they
the
easily could have shaved 40. They could have shaved 40 matches. You take 40 minutes over the course of all those matches. Cole and Paige could have been 7 minutes shorter.
Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa didn't need half the time that they had. And I got it, Dip, you made me think of something too. Do you think that they rely on the championships too much to fill the gaps in storytelling? And why I say that is because, you know, the Cole and Paige match, I feel like they rushed to it. And then with Britt and Thunder Rosa, they relied so much on the fact that they had an amazing match last year to justify this match and then, you know, the next one that they're going to have in next week. Do you think that they, because these are championship matches, they rest on their laurels a little bit in terms of the storytelling and just say, well, this person's going to be made by the championship, so we don't need to put as much effort as they do into like the MJF CM Punk storyline or even like the MJF Wardlow storyline?
Perhaps. I don't think there's much of a storyline with Adam Cole and Hangman Page, as we know. And I don't think there's much of a story with Britt Baker either. Maybe Adam Cole just needs a woman. Maybe he needs Britt.
He has a woman.
Yeah, I mean, she's right there.
I'm just saying, maybe he needs Britt.
I know. It's a fair point. Maybe that's literally all you need. And it's sitting right there in front of you too, right? I mean, interesante.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
Let's hit some Black Power rankings real quick.
I'm blacker than black, yo, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm blacker than black, yo, I'm blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm back.
Dip, go for it. Dip, do you have one?
Yeah, I gotta give it to Isaiah Cassidy. I mean, oh my God, dude, that Spanish Fly is one of the best moves I've seen in 10 years, that spot.
Wait, was it the spot off the stage?
Yeah.
It was cool. Oh my God.
It wasn't Sammy's best spot of the year.
It was close. I don't know. It hit different.
No. Sammy's joint off the ladder against Cody was on a different.
Yeah.
In Dip's defense, though, this podcast is week to week. This is the best spot of the week for Sammy and Isaiah.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, and I got to give Ricky Stark's performance in that brass ring match was, he's a big star too. I love Ricky Starks. Very interesting.
Can I tell you what? I thought Hobbs was damn good in the ladder match.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I wanted to show some love to Hobbs, too. I think it's coming a long way. I mean,
they need to give him more but I like Hobbs.
Even though Hobbs' face looks like it's literally like he's always making the face of a villain in Street Fighter.
He growls. He's got a scowl on his face.
Yeah, it's like this built-in scowl growl thing. I gotta show love. I gotta show love to Hobbs. I thought he had a good performance. SGG?
Yeah, as much as it pains me to make this week's Black Power Rankings all elite, I have to give it to Jade Cargill. Like I said, this was her best. The best performance that I've seen from her, certainly the best women's match of the night. She looked great. And honestly, I wouldn't be mad if this undefeated streak continues to the point where she's a double champion at some point. Why not, right? But as far as this week goes, though, she, to me, was one of the standout performers. So I'm giving it to Jade Cargill.
And I'll also say all the... shout out to all the black superstars on the MSG house show, man. It really was. I was there with Ebro, took his daughter to the show, her first time going, and being there with her really gave me an appreciation for the effort that's been made in terms of representation. Because like I watched her light up when she saw Bianca and I wasn't with her when Naomi came out. But Ebro said she immediately fell in love with Naomi. Like the second she saw her, she was just like, I love Naomi. And it made me real. I'm like, man, that's important. They do a good job. It's one area that they have really done a good job. And that was a very diverse show, top to bottom. The whole card basically was very multi-ethnic all the way through. So shout out to Naomi and Bianca Belair. And all the ladies were tremendous. She was, Issa was also into Rhea Ripley.
Interesting.
Rhea is so mage in person. She's so jacked and just she's something. You see her come out and you go, who is that? She is somebody. All right, guys. I know this week I don't know if I said it out loud, but I said in my head that I was going to do a big mailbag. And I have emails here from Cole. I did or did not?
You did not. I don't remember you saying.
Okay, good, 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 good.
You said.
Shout out to Cole.
He did.
To Robin, to Matthew, Seth, Emmanuel, Akash, Joe, Mike, Nick, Ben, Josh, Jimmy asking about a heat and greet in Dallas, Mike writing about the pace of AEW storytelling. I mean, it's just one. GM. Oh my God. Every phone's going off. Joe, who wrote us about the Tears of Mage. Eddie, who wrote and said, talked about a Mage Mania idea that we glossed over. So many messages, and I promise we will get to them as we get closer to Mania. You can write us at rosenbergbeats@gmail.com, but I am completely worn out and have to go on the air. And I just recorded for a wrestling documentary for 2 hours. I am a complete wrap. So we'll get to mailbag next week. And guys, we're very close to Tears of Mage.
Yeah. I'm
are we doing next week or the week after?
I don't know. I mean, we should discuss.
We got to figure out how we're going to produce this episode as well.
I know. We could also do it with me and you in person, you and me together, and bring in SGG on the line.
Yeah.
Options galore. So we'll figure it out. We love you all. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. We look forward to all your... all your takes, anger because you don't think SGG was positive enough about the AEW pay-per-view, or I should be just more excited. Dip should be more excited about Austin. Whatever it is that you want to tell us. Maybe you just want to talk about your love of LaCroix or Bear the Dog. Whatever it is, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. Thanks to our producer, Troy. And don't forget the Masked Man show dropping tomorrow. Oh, stay mage.
And enjoy yourselves.
Peter, you know who you are? You're the bull moose of broadcasting.
Wow. Wow.
What are your thoughts?
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With the Power's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.